We continue with Absolute Proof, the talk radio special. I'm Scott Hillen, and I've done something a little novel here. I've watched a two-hour documentary that's gone viral, and pretty incredible story, already 89 million views worldwide, 60-some in the U.S. An hour and 53 minutes is the average viewing of a two-hour documentary. That's unheard of. Incredible what's going on here. And I've actually watched it. Okay, I watched it. I saw it. I didn't say, oh, everything they're saying, this is true. I'm curious. I want to know more. Tell me more. So we decided to actually interview the people that are there. We think America's worth taking the time to dig into this a little bit. And the next person you saw was sort of smack dab in the middle of this, Patrick Colbeck. He is an aerospace engineer. He's an author. He's a former elected official, former candidate for governor in Michigan, a very pivotal state in election 2020. Patrick, thanks for joining us. Appreciate the time.
Hey, great to be with you, Scott. And you may have watched that documentary, but I lived it. So I was a poll challenger at the Detroit AV Counting Board. So a lot of the shenanigans that are highlighted, I actually witnessed. And I was also there helping out with Matt DiPerno out in Antrim County, too. So
yeah,
he was a rock star up there.
Yeah, that's a whole another story that we're going to dig into, have yet to. But Antrim County, I think, is a smoking gun because it proves it proves the allegations can be done. And the only fix for it in this case, the only remedy is, oh, they made a mistake. Right. So, you proved by your mistake this can be done, what you say can't be done. So, Pat, tell us sort of a fifth grade explanation here about your allegations, what you saw, and the role it played in what happened to Donald Trump and others on November 3rd of 2020.
Well, my concern since day one as a former vice chair of the Senate Elections and Government Reform Committee was chain of custody. And so I wanted to zero in when I was a poll challenger at the Detroit AV Counting Board on an important link in the chain of custody, which is the final vote tally. A lot of people, when they cast their vote, they think that's the end of it. Then they go off and watch CNN or Fox News and they wait for the results to come in. I wanted to understand how every single one of those votes was rallied or relayed up the line so that it got to that little scroll bar on the TV news station. So specifically, I wanted to understand how those vote tallies were handed off in the Detroit AV Counting Board from their tabulation workstations to the adjudication workstations and to all points south from there. And what I saw in Detroit had me seriously concerned, because not only am I somebody very familiar with the election processes, but I'm also a bit of a techie. I'm a certified Microsoft Small Business Specialist. So I understand how networks are configured. And what I saw in there was pretty clear evidence that these guys were not only networked to one another, so all these tabulators were networked to one another and to these adjudicator machines, which raises a whole chain of custody issue. How do you know the tabulation from one scanner is under some sort of sealed control or configuration control before it's handed off to the next, to the adjudicator or to the central control center, which was all networked together with the other devices via hardwire Ethernet connections? And so I was very concerned about that, and I was asking election officials, help me out, guys. Are you guys connected to the Internet? And they swore up and down that they were not. I actually traced all the wires underneath there. They were connected to one another, and they already admitted to the fact that the control center that these were all networked to was connected to the Internet. So anybody with any IT knowledge worth their salt is understands that if one computer is connected to the Internet, they're all connected to the Internet. And why is this important? Well, if you walk through the Absolute Proof documentary, you see a lot of the attacks that were highlighted in that final 30-minute segment, all those foreign intrusions from operators in China in particular, they're all enabled via Internet connections. So that's kind of why I think I was featured in this documentary. That's why my testimony was provided. And I think it's very important as we go forward in our elections to consider the risks associated with connecting this equipment to the Internet.
I'm going to tell a little interesting story here anecdotally to this whole thing, but on election day or day after, you know, I started to see stories about the Dominion machines and other voting machines and being connected to the Internet and some pieces of the puzzle with hammer and scorecard coming together. My wife was talking about it, very concerned about it. And I posted something on Facebook about it, which was literally just kind of a review of the facts or whatever. And I think General McInerney was in it as well. Again, it wasn't these, you know, wild conspiracy theories. It was, hey, this happens and here's how it happened. It was immediately taken down by Facebook, and they blocked it and then put a fact check link right in there. I thought, I'm going to read one of these fact checks. I wonder who does the fact checks. It is an organization that does supposedly independently, but does them for Facebook. And I'm not kidding. The explanation was these machines do not hook up to the internet, and their source for that was a voting machine company. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, you might as well call the you know, the friend of the fox guarding the hen house, right? I mean, like, how stupid do they think we are?
Here's the game that's being played on that. Technically, Dominion's not connecting to the internet. They just provide the capability to connect them to the internet. So that's the game that's being played. They all have Ethernet ports on them. They all are compatible with cell-based modems that you can plug into a USB slot in the in their machines if you don't want to plug it in via the Ethernet. So technically, you can say they're not connecting it to the internet, but they're designed to connect it to the internet. We actually have training video that's up at my website, letsfixup.org, that you can listen to, and they're talking about connecting this stuff to the internet. So that's kind of nice that they say that they're not directly doing it, and you can get into a very pedantic legal argument that suggests that maybe they're telling the truth there, but we have other evidence that suggests that they knew exactly that these things were being connected to the internet, and that should be a concern to everybody who's interested in election integrity.
We talked to General McInerney earlier, and he talked about this forensic digital footprint where we watch, you know, these intrusions coming from bad actors around the world, and China's 60% of them. They break through these firewalls. He talked about the fact that he didn't mention directly to the voting machines, but he said they go at a transfer point. Explain how this infrastructure works. When you talk about a transfer point, that obviously is connected to the internet. So if that's connected to the internet and the transfer point is also getting data from the voting machines, there's your smoking gun, right?
Yeah, so let me just outline the way things were arranged out at the Detroit AV County Board. Now, there's 503 precincts at the Detroit AV County Board. That's where I was stationed as a poll challenger. And over 170,000 absentee ballots were cast through this AV County Board. And what they had was a bunch of county board stations all around where the poll books were set up. And what they would do is process the ballots and get them ready to send over to the next stage in the process, which is what they called the tabulation scanners or tabulation workstations. And they had high-speed scanners. So they'd bring these ballots over from these counting boards in stacks of 50 and then run them through these high-speed tabulators. And whenever there was an error with it, ostensibly, that's when it would trigger a shift or a reallocation of that ballot to a holding bin that was then distributed out to an adjudicator workstation for ostensibly a Republican and a Democrat to adjudicate and determine what the intent of the voter was at that point in time. Now, we know that there weren't representatives from both parties there at the Detroit AV County Board. And we know that they were playing games with denial of Republican poll workers, so they couldn't oversee these. But beyond that fact, that the actual paper trail, if you will, or that audit log or that demonstrates maintenance of the chain of custody was broken the whole time through here. So all those data points, the transfer point that, according to the Detroit Elections Manual, was supposed to be from the adjudication machine. And so they were supposed to have a little flash drive that would plug into that. And so all the ballots from the tabulators would actually go to these adjudicator workstations and then put up on a little flash drive. And then that flash drive was supposed to be sealed in an envelope and then sent upstream. That never happened in Detroit. I never saw a flash drive the whole time I was there, and I was there for a marathon, 25-hour shift, and they were still putting out election results somehow. Well, the missing ingredient, when you talk about transfer points, is that all these computers, the tabulators and the adjudicators, were actually connected to a local control center that we had no access to. Matter of fact, anytime you got near it, you were shooed away, even though they're technically, as a poll challenger, I was supposed to be able to get access to it. They didn't want me to have access to it. That control center actually had the connection to the internet. And the Dominion systems are designed so that the people up there, they can overwrite votes if they want. All you have to do is do what they did in Antrim County, which is remove your audit log, and you have no traceability to what actually happened on that vote. You can change all of your Trump votes to Biden votes, and nobody would be any the wiser.
You know, it is really, if you feel as though you're watching a movie. I'm curious what you believe to be the play of events in Michigan. Let's deal with Michigan. It's where you've been elected. You've been a candidate for governor. You've been, in addition to being this aerospace engineer, tying this into actually on the scene in a very important county in Michigan. on election night. What was the steal? How did they do what they did? Was it the internet connection and the intrusions that happened from where they happened? Was it a case where the algorithm was not performing like they thought, so then they had to do ballots and sort of sway things back? Just walk us through the steal from your perspective.
Well, first of all, when you're actually working on the ground as a poll challenger, very difficult to get the big picture, right? You're just focused on what you can see and what you're being denied from getting access to see. So at the time when I was sitting at the poll, it's very difficult to understand what's really going on. Now, when you start seeing ballots drop in the middle of the night without any explanation as to where they came from, and then you knew that Trump was up by, 180,000, 200,000 votes, and then all of a sudden that margin started to narrow, that's when you kind of start doing the math saying something else is going on here. And so what we believe happened is that they had essentially programmed in, if you will, a predefined vote margin that they wanted to steal. You saw up in New Hampshire where there was a 6% shift from Republicans to Democrats, right, across the board. They've got evidence supporting that. We think the same thing happened in Michigan. The issue has been getting access to that electronic data. We've been denied access to it at every point in turn, which this lack of transparency, frankly, is one of the most frustrating parts of this whole thing. I can actually witness a ballot being adjudicated in an unfair manner when I'm sitting there in front of the terminal watching it being done. But I can't see what's happening in bits and bytes land. I'm not small enough to see how the electrons in bits and bytes flop from zeros to ones inside the computer. It's very difficult. So from a big picture perspective, what we think happened is that they realized that they were losing. We had an overwhelming support for President Trump. We believe that the final vote tally was actually 79 million to 68 million for Trump to Biden instead of what's being reported now. And frankly, against that backdrop, please just ask yourself, where's the enthusiasm for a candidate like Joe Biden that campaigned from his basement the whole time? There was zero enthusiasm for him. I was at Trump rallies all over the place. This guy was everywhere, and he was like the Energizer Bunny of campaigns, and people came out and were waiting hours and hours to go off and see him. If you're looking for an enthusiasm gap, as they call it in polling, the enthusiasm gap was the fact that President Trump and his supporters had the enthusiasm. Joe Biden didn't have it. So that's the common sense part about it. So then all these voters coming out in mass just messed with their algorithm. So then they had to resort to the old ballot stuffing Chicago-style politics. They actually had a warehouse in Detroit that they called the Chicago warehouse that poll challengers were not allowed to go to. Yet they had Dominion employees like Melissa Carone, who's also featured in this documentary. But she was originally assigned to go to that. And her only training regarding Dominion machines was around tabulation equipment. Why would she go to a place that was not supposed to be doing any tabulation if they didn't have any tabulation equipment there? So there's a lot of interesting things that were happening. You saw vote injections that happened in the middle of the night. We've all heard about how they shut down all of the states all across the board pretty much at the same time. And then when you actually start following the data threads, you start seeing negative vote tallies, which, by the way, correlates with what we saw at the tail end of the documentary in Absolute Proof. People were highlighting, how do you get a negative vote increment? You should only be going up, not down, right? And so, it all adds up to the fact that their initial, 3 to 5% shift that they were trying to do at the beginning with their algorithms, they miscalculated the enthusiasm for Donald Trump, and then they had to go back to good old Chicago-style politics with ballot stuffing. And we saw evidence of that just in Wayne County, where they were trying to make up the balance in their in the precincts before the Board of Canvassers vote there, where we had precincts that were out of balance by as much as 600 votes, where they had stuffed that precinct with ballots that didn't have any valid voters. And then, miraculously, the day before the Board of Canvassers vote, they would come in with a boatload of poll book supplements that all of a sudden got them within, I think, the maximum out of balance was about 29 votes inside the precinct for the Wayne County Board of Canvassers. They panicked. They decided to go back to the old ballot stuffing techniques. And
you see that? When you say the old ballot stuffing techniques, are you witnessing this happening? Again, you don't have the full context, but you're going, Something's kind of weird. I mean, do you see this with your own eyes?
I have been ground zero for many of the affidavits that have come through the state of Michigan. So I have affidavits attesting everything that I've stated. And so this is all pulled together. Actually, I've got it posted up on my website, letsfixup.org. We're putting all the affidavits up there. I refer to it in several of the posts that are out there. Bottom line, and particularly the one that says case for Michigan, decertification of Michigan's election results. The case is pretty clear. There were not only violations of the chain of custody, which unfortunately in the state of Michigan is not against the law, but it should be. there were multiple statutory violations, constitutional violations, and then it's just a mess of what happened here. So bottom line is we believe Donald Trump won this election. It's not about Donald Trump, just so you know. Back in 2016, I challenged the election results in Michigan back then because of election fraud evidence that was going on. And that was when Donald Trump won the election. So this is about preserving the integrity of our elections, not for any given individual. I do support President Trump, no doubt about it, but I wouldn't do anything to promote a narrative that got him into office that wasn't true.
Are there any active cases in Michigan still? Any cases that have come out of Michigan from, you mentioned the affidavits and the work you've done. Anything still alive on that front?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some big cases. Matt DiPerno, who was featured in that documentary, he has a suit regarding Antrim County data. That's the suit that actually got us access to the data in Antrim County, the electronic data, where the Matt was the only lawyer successful to do that all from a whole country, actually getting a ruling from Judge Kevin Elsenheimer to allow us to get access to that data, which is amazing. It shouldn't be that difficult, right?
Okay.
All this information
and
is transparent.
So that particular case, what was the name of that case? Where is it located? How would somebody find it to kind of go through all the information that has been filed so far?
Matt DiPerno's best source on all that. I just talked to him about I'm kind of cheating, if you will, on the case status and stuff. So I don't have it a specific link to it, if I remember correctly. I think I do. I have the letsfixup.org. So check into that. It's one on Antrim County where we've got the smoking gun and the report, because the report that came out of that featured that. And here's the best part about that court case is that because the Secretary of State of Michigan intervened, now we have discovery on the Secretary of State, which is leading to requests for information around her communications with Dominion Voting Systems and with Big Tech. So that is going to be a very big lawsuit for people to track. The other big case is the one that's before the Supreme Court on February 19th. That's with Sidney Powell, when the Eastern District here in Michigan, the federal court in Eastern District of Michigan, denied her the ability to even have a hearing about her case. She took it up to the Supreme Court, and they're going to be considering whether or not that what was filed initially around Michigan is actually going to be taken up by the federal court system up in the Supreme Court. So
amazing.
That's a big case as well.
Yeah, and so I think that's what that's getting no attention anywhere in the media, that these cases are still active in there, and that's why I ask you. And I will definitely, we're going to talk to Matt about Antrim County, because I think, again, that proves what the allegations here from so many are actually real in that case. And the only explanation they have for theirs being completely wrong was an auditor saying, well, I messed up. Good one. Now, back to, again, the voting machines and the work you did, because I think the work you did is actually saying, okay, you can tell me this, but look, I'm actually following the wires, and so you're lying to me here. What I would like to know is, do we have any, you got it in Michigan, but has anybody done the same in Wisconsin and Nevada and Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona? I mean, assume they're using the same machines. If they are, have we broken that down by state yet, Pat?
Well, you may recall the Georgia Senate testimony that Jovan Pulitzer gave during the Georgia Senate runoff. And he said, hey, we're connected to these machines right now. We're live with them. And of course, they deny that any of these things are connected to the internet, right? So they connected via, I think, a Nest device that was sitting out there for climate control because it was a wireless device, but it got into the network. These guys, here's the trouble. A lot of the clerks don't want to admit that their elections are vulnerable, right? Nobody wants to go off and say, hey, my elections are vulnerable. But a lot of them are not tech savvy enough to understand that these systems like Dominion are configured to enable people to get access to them via the internet. And there's a lot of different ways to go off and do that. These clerks are told by the salesmen that these are air gap. There's no way anybody can compromise access to the data. That is simply not true. They'll put a firewall in there, for example, and there's hackers at DEF CON that eat firewalls for breakfast, and they can get in there in a matter of seconds. So they believe that they're secure because they're believing all the sales brochures, and they frankly don't want to believe that they're complicit with an attempt to undermine our elections by making them vulnerable. I'm telling you, there's a lack of technical sophistication by our legislators, by our election officials, that gets preyed upon by companies that may want to go off and sell their devices, and actually they may have more nefarious purposes in mind here with the design of some of these systems.
I want to ask you also about the fact that Michigan is, tell us your website again one more time. You said it a couple of times. What's folks? Let'sfixstuff.org, right?
Yeah, let'sfixstuff.org. I put all this information up there, and you can download the source data. So this isn't me just opining and putting up a bunch of opinion articles. It's we try to get people access to the real data so they can make their own decisions. So like the Dominion Voting Systems Manual that talks about how it's connected to the internet, we put that information up there. People can look for themselves.
Pat Kolbeck, by the way, has also written books. He's spending his life's work digging into these things. It's not like coming by this Johnny-come-lately sort of saying, oh, I like Donald Trump, so I'll go, you know, volunteer at the polls and actually watch this stuff. This is a labor of love for him. Yeah. If you were to walk the streets in Michigan, where you call home or other places as well, Pat, what do people think about the results of Michigan? I mean, is there a public perception that there is, something dirty in the air over this, or have people moved on?
Well, it kind of depends on your political affiliations, unfortunately. Although there are a lot of Democrats that realize that something's rotten in Denmark, just like the clerks that don't want to admit that they may be vulnerable to internet hacks. I mean, they'd rather just, you know, move on and go on with their days and ignore the possibility that something is seriously wrong with our election system. So I'd like to think that there's people that are engaged. I think I've definitely seen interest that there's people simmering under the surface, particularly in the grassroots, that are saying, guys, this is just not right. I'm getting calls from all over the state, all over the country, from people just saying, what can we do? So for me, that indication is saying, these guys get it. I mean, there's enough people that understand that something is wrong, not just with this election, but with our country overall, that we've got to go off and address, and we've got to address it soon. When you see this cancel culture going off and suppressing all this information, that tells people there's something there. There's an old political adage that says if somebody's making a fool out of themselves and making false claims, you just let them keep talking, right? Just keep on talking, and eventually they're going to be exposed for exactly what kind of a fool they are. That's not what's happening here. They're making sure at every single turn that we do not have access to information, that we can't share information, and that anybody who says anything that is not consistent with the approved narrative coming out of D.C. gets attacked mercilessly. And so people can see that. They pay attention. They're not as stupid as people are treating them in general. And folks that would normally not get engaged in politics are starting to wake up and get engaged in politics.
Yeah, as someone that is into the technology side of this, an aerospace engineer, Pat, I would hope people would be a little suspicious, like you say, of the fact that, I mean, Mike Lindell puts this up, we put it up. You know, look, we're based in Fargo, North Dakota. We have radio affiliates and listeners across North Dakota, western Minnesota, south and North Dakota, as well as Montana. But it's not like we're a big deal in the media world, right? Mike Lindell's a friend. He's a longtime advertiser. I listen to this myself. I think critically. I say, is that plausible? Is it not? Ask the tough questions. And, you know, our website and our YouTube's taken down, and my Facebook posts are fact-checked.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you know, you got the most horrific porn in the world that's out there for everybody to see, no matter their age. You got, you know, child porn and the Iranians saying death to America and all kinds of garbage that's left up. I just say, what kind of America are we living in that this could be happening right now? And I would think at a minimum, when they see you and others being silenced for simply saying what you saw, that they'd wake up to say, wait a minute here. Why are people worried? Why do you think they're worried? Why is this such a battle with big tech and the other folks that want to silence this?
Well, I think it's ultimately, personally, it's a spiritual battle. I mean, this is really getting down to good versus evil. I hate to put it down brass tacks on that, but I've seen this where you see the people that are being promoted as good are the ones that are burning down federal buildings. They're taking over cities. Yet when they do a riot, it's good. Yet when they go off and use agent provocateurs out of the Capitol building to go off and light a fuse, if you will, underneath the frustration of Trump voters with this total, all this election fraud not even being addressed. Well, there's a double standard there, and people are starting to realize that, and they're waking up to it. And, you know, eventually, you know, the truth, all that is noble and good is eventually going to rise to the top, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
How does this movie end? Absolute Truth has lit a fire. Tens of millions of people around the country have watched this. Now there's a free DVD out. You can get it at michaeljlindell.com. It's free. You only pay shipping. Order 25 of them. Have a viewing party. Get them to your friends and have conversations about this and say, look, if we can agree on nothing, we can agree that China is our enemy, right? And if China is actually trying to influence our elections, we all, Republican, Democrat, red, blue, green, conservative, liberal, should be outraged about that and be on the same page and maybe bring about some much-needed unity. But I fear this, like so many of the times we've been warned about this and heard, you know, God-fearing, freedom-loving Americans come forward who say, this is not America. It just gets lost and they're called a crackpot. So knowing what you know about what you saw in Michigan and the others in Absolute Proof, where does this run to ground? Where does it end?
This is what Mike liked to talk about, and I agree with him. I think we're on the verge of a great reawakening, if you will, where people who have been told about a line of, you know what, from the media for quite a few years, are finally realizing that maybe we shouldn't be trusting what the media is telling us. You know, maybe these social media companies that you were assuming that they were just a neutral platform that you could post all your views on, well, we're seeing evidence that that exactly is not the case. And then people that say that they're Republicans, for example, or say they're conservative, they appreciate the rule of law. Even Democrats who quote the Constitution on it, you're seeing, well, they're not really abiding by the Constitution. It's a great wake-up call, and people are seeing that. And I think this is a case where, for a long time, you've heard the analogy of a frog sitting in a pot of water, and you can keep them in that pot without putting on the lid there if you just turn up the heat slowly. The one thing that happened when Donald Trump got into office is that they couldn't afford to just turn up the heat slowly because he was going to expose everything, and he did expose a lot of the hypocrisies of what they're actually doing right now. And that was a wake-up call that they had themselves that said, we can't let President Trump and people that think like him to have any voice in America going forward. And so that's the battle that we're in right now. But I think a lot of people realize that attack against Donald Trump that continues to this day via these fake impeachment trials is really an attack against America. It's an attack against people that believe in the rule of law, that believe in constitutional government, that believe that America is fundamentally a great country. That's why we want to make America great again. That's the battle. We want to preserve our national heritage and actually get back to that freedom-loving, brave society that we've lost, not just in this election, but in this COVID response as well. We can't be called the home of the brave and land of the free right now because of our reaction. We need to regain that root. We need to regain that legacy. And I think that's what's going to happen. We're going to get back to that reawakening of what it means to be an American. And I'm looking forward to that day, I can tell you.
Well, and I appreciate the fact you're recognizing this for what it is, a spiritual battle. It clearly is. There's good, there's evil. And obviously, the evil forces have got their grips more and more and more in America in so many ways. I would argue there's no possible way that our Creator can look at this earth from above, a place that awaits us for eternal life, and say, you know, that abortion thing, that's okay. It's somebody's choice, you know, and that's just one thing. Yeah. I mean, when you can turn on the television and see individuals of same sex, engaging in behavior that 10 years ago would have cost television stations to lose their license and say that's okay. And again, every single person on this earth is made in the image and likeness of God, regardless of their sexual preference or anything else. I'm not trying to begrudge them. Yeah. I'm saying what we consider acceptable has fallen so far into the sewer that there has to be a point of reckoning to say stop. Yeah. Right? Stop. Reset. But my question is how you get to that reawakening. It has to have some formal process where Michigan has a breakthrough in the courts or in the legislature, and that goes to Georgia, and it goes to Arizona, and it goes to Wisconsin, and then it goes to the United States Congress, and then it goes to the Supreme Court. How about an earthly way to justice before we have the awakening of individuals on this, Pat?
Well, I'll tell you, when we were making the film, in the documentary Absolute Proof, I sat there and goes, listen, well, we got the brain trust here. Let's make sure we got all the next steps mapped out so we can, use this pool of information we've got from all across the country. And I said, I don't want this just to be a blip on the radar that disappears afterwards. Unless somebody can tell me that this is a milestone in a larger plan, well, I want to make sure that we shut down this home and we don't leave until we've got our own plan to move forward on this. And I was reassured that, no, indeed, this is just one milestone on a larger plan. And frankly, I don't need to know what that larger plan is. I just need to know that we're going forward on that. I know who's in control ultimately. That's Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I know he's got me in the palm of his hands, and I'm not worried about anything that happens in that context. But for the rest of our country, I don't know how this 5D chess game is going to all play out. And I'll be the first to admit that. But I am confident that, first of all, we know the truth. The truth isn't disappearing. There's a reason why I shut down pretty much my whole life to go off and fight this election fraud right now. It's because we know the truth. And ultimately, I believe that truth will get its day in court, whether it's through this worldly court system or if it's in a much more fair court system. After it's all said and done, well, that remains to be seen. But I am confident that we're on the right side of this, and we're going to get that word out.
Well, you're a patriot for doing what you're doing. I share your belief in the ultimate judge, and that gives a person a great deal of resolve in times like this to get to truth, to go from evidence to proof to truth. And that's what we need to do to convince not only people who agree with us, who voted for Donald Trump, who believe this election is stolen, but those who don't. And to give them the ammunition to say, I have nothing to refute this. I'm sorry, you're right. So, Pat, you're a patriot, a gentleman, and a scholar. I look forward to more conversations with you, and we'll keep on this and encourage people in the meantime to go to letsfixstuff.org, letsfixstuff.org, to find out more about Pat's good work. Pat Kolbeck, thank you very much.
Hey, blessing me with you, Scott. Not gonna lie.
Thank you, sir.